there. He's coming to Marion to sign autographs and pictures and so on and so forth on that day. So that's going to be a lot of fun right off the Hall of Fame.
Hey, Scott Spears here from the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where it all started and where it all goes down tonight. The WWE Hall of Fame induction ceremony starting at 10 p.m. on the Peacock. Download the app. Only $5.99 and you get it for a month. And I believe you can watch WrestleMania for free this weekend if you get the Peacock. Joined in mobile studio here by Carrington Nelson and Matt Morgan. And we're having a tremendous time, and Thunderbolt, I'm sure, will join us at some point along the way of this trip. But he will also be clearly on tonight. And what's he going to say? I don't know. That's what I'm waiting to see. What's this man going to say after all these years, 31 years being off national television, 31 years since he's been in a wrestling ring? What's he going to say tonight?
I'm very curious to see that as well. Last night, I couldn't get a read at all as to what I thought his speech was going to be like or how he was feeling. So, I mean, obviously, he was excited to see his family, who he hadn't seen in some time. But I don't know how he's feeling. He's hard to read.
It really is. It's going to be interesting. I know he has not written anything. I know that's the idea on his behalf. So, you know, it'll just kind of be, here we go.
Speaking from the heart, like I said, I feel like that's the way to go. He can say what he wants to say. Hopefully he conveys the message that he wants to convey tonight.
You know, I'm interested to stand, because obviously I'll just be feet from him while this is going on, what he's going to try to do up there.
Yeah. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know
how
to
do it. It's going to go one of two ways.
Yes, okay.
It's going to go one, now I'm not going to talk about it, but it's going to go one of two ways. And I think the setup today, and I think the going into it tonight, will tell that story.
Yeah, of how he's feeling and stuff. I mean, hopefully he's just excited to be here. This is obviously a really intense and interesting environment, I would say. So we'll see how he's feeling.
Yeah, we will see how it goes tonight. And like I say, going on next to last tonight on the Hall of Fame ceremony, we'll have time to think about it.
Yeah, see how it all's going to play out. As we said, most of it is just like show up and see what happens, and this event is no different. Even though it is on a bigger scale than some other events we've done, it's still the same, which I think is one of the most interesting things that I've seen being at the station now for 9 months, like how the events just kind of like, you have a plan, and like things will go according to plan, but it's just not, and that's never exactly how you think it's going to be in your mind, and not that that's bad, it's typically a good thing, really, but just the fact that everything is kind of like play by ear, and we'll see how it goes.
Well, I think that's such in the world of broadcasting, because you can't plan. I mean, you can plan that you're going to do an event, but you cannot plan the unexpected. Murphy's Law. You know, you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. No, then that's definitely true from being here, is what I've seen. So I'm interested to see how it's going to play out tonight. I'm excited.
But I think it has always turned out well in the end.
Yeah. It's never like it's been a massive failure or anything bad has happened. It's just different than what you would expect.
Yeah. I think so. You know what I'm interested about in this rehearsal that's going to happen here just after 10 o'clock is, it's my understanding, the only people who will be over there at this particular time will be the inductors and the inductees and the production people. So that is, I think, where you get a real feel of what's going on.
Yeah, definitely. Hopefully it's a smaller crowd over there. As we said, coming into the lobby earlier this morning and last night, there's a lot of people downstairs, so getting the more intimate environment will definitely set the scene a little bit more, I think, for what to expect.
And also being able to talk to these people and understand what the rundown is of the rest of the day, I think will also be very helpful.
Oh, yeah. I mean, as we said, we don't know how it's going to play out tonight. So getting a little more information is going to definitely help us figure it out.
Now, being in a city where basically this country started, being a 17-minute walk from where the country started, how do you feel about that?
It's hard to fathom because it's obviously a city, so it seems very modern in the sense of, like, there's a lot of businesses and a lot of people and the hustle and bustle. It's giving, like, a Manhattan, New York City vibe for me. But just to know that this has been here for, you know, 300-plus years now is crazy. I mean, no, wait, 300-plus, is it 200-plus years?
250. In the 250 years, you know.
Either way, it's been here for quite some time, and it doesn't feel that it would be quite that old, I guess. It's hard to believe that and to believe that this is where the country started.
wrap your mind around the idea.
Especially since it was just a drive from Ohio. You know, we just drove 8 hours yesterday, and we were here, and I was like, oh, like that's so interesting. That's all the farther away it is, and I've never been here before. So, yeah, definitely excited to be here, excited to go see the Constitution later. I think that that's going to be something that is impactful. I've never seen the Constitution, obviously, never been here before, and I'm not a huge, like, history person, but still, it's like, wow, if you're standing there and it's right in front of you, it's like, that's it. That's what started this country. So I'm excited.
Well, the Constitutional Convention happened in Independence Hall, which is right over there.
Yeah, and is it still like the same building that they use?
Yep.
I'm interested to see what that looks like now compared to all the other buildings they have here.
Well, I think they've kept it up.
Yeah, okay.
Ben Franklin's grave is over in that area. The Liberty Bell, it's all in the same area.
We've got a lot to see.
We've got a lot to see, and thank goodness it's only 17 minutes by foot.
Yeah, we got to walk over there later today. Hopefully it's not too chilly. As you said, the weather's similar to the weather in Marion, but a little bit warmer, so.
A little bit warmer, so, you know, you take what you get.
Yeah, well, they've got the big buildings, so that's helping block the wind last night. Whenever me and Matt were on our Philly cheesesteak pursuit last night, we were walking, and we did talk about that, how it's like, oh, you know, it's chilly out here, but definitely you can notice that it's less windy than it would have been due to the building. So I'm thankful for that because I don't like the cold.
See, you look like you're about to take a nap right now.
What?
You look a little, like, you know, nappish.
No, I'm just hanging out. I'm ready.
You got it in.
Yes.
You're feeling strong.
I'm feeling strong.
How are you feeling, Matt?
Pretty good.
After that night in the chair?
It would have been better had there not been a TV on that kept me up till, you know, 3:30, but, you know, here we go.
Oh, with the TV again.
So much TV.
I fell asleep for about half an hour and then woke up and I was like, I can't.
How did you enjoy your breakfast with strawberry shortcake?
It's pretty good.
In a mason jar.
It's a little too sweet for my liking, I'm not going to lie to you. It is tasty, though. I think it's a better dessert than it is a breakfast. But it's good.
Well, it's not exactly Cheerios.
yeah, that's right. It's pretty much sugar.
It's a whole different breakfast here in Philadelphia. This is how they do it here in Philadelphia. Strawberry shortcake every morning in a mason jar.
Yeah, that's
good.
Authentic.
That's the breakfast of Philadelphia. That's the breakfast of Philadelphia. Breakfast of champions in Philadelphia.
And I would like to point out that Scott did eat the rest of his strawberry shortcake during the break, so he has proven me wrong there. I don't know if he was eating it because he wanted to, or if it was spice, but I didn't shit regardless.
I think he just ate it because he got tired of me bringing it up.
Yeah, well, and, you know, we were going on 36 hours there where I better have some carbohydrate to survive.
Yeah, and I mean, you really just ate sugar there. Like, I'm nervous you're going to be out there shaking during the Hall of Fame speech. You're going
to have to shake like the Parkinson's are going to come in?
Yes. I mean, that happens to me. If I only drink coffee or, you know, only eat a sweet treat in the morning, I will start to, like, feel a little shaky, and I'm like, I got to eat something or else, like, I can't focus. Like, it's very difficult whenever you just eat sweets or caffeine.
Well, I've had orange juice.
Well, hopefully you're good then.
Orange juice is good. Orange juice is very nice.
What kind of orange juice was that? That was good.
Simply orange.
Ad product placement. Ad.
And how much does that cost here in Philadelphia at the 7-Eleven across the street?
$4 and somewhat change.
Well, that's not much different than the grocery stores.
That's
$2. That's not bad.
It's about double the price. Not bad. Well.
You know, I don't even know if you can buy that Simply Orange for $2 anymore.
I mean, at our store, we run a 2-for-5 on them a lot of the time, so, you know.
$2.50, there you go.
About half price.
$2.
I don't buy orange juice. I don't like orange juice. I don't know the going rate of orange juice.
I love oranges, and I love orange juice.
Now, what's wrong with orange juice?
Yeah.
I think it's just the... I was going to say citrus, but that's not even it because I like lemons. I don't really like lemon-flavored things. Maybe it is related to the citrus. I have a lot of issues with a lot of different fruits. I don't really like oranges. I don't really like bananas. And those are the big two that I am not in favor of. Watermelon, that's another one. I don't eat that.
You don't like tropical fruits?
What happens?
I mean, nothing happens. It's not bad. I'll just more enjoy it. It's like I would rather not eat than eat that stuff. Basically.
You know, I knew a girl one time who had an allergy to fruits like that.
Oh.
If he would break out.
I have a friend with a citrus allergy, and he ends up getting sick because citrus in his stomach just don't go well. And nothing like that happens for me. It's just I don't like the taste, so I'd rather not eat it.
Well, there you go.
Everyone's got their preferences.
Sure. Now, what if you had could have anything for breakfast, what would it be?
It really depends on the day. I like bacon a lot, though. Maybe not just straight bacon, but, like, some sort of, like, sampler platter. I really like the Bob Evans breakfast where you've got the French toast and then you get the bacon and the sausage and the eggs and actual pieces of toast. I just like a variety. I like to be able to pick and choose because it just changes what I want. What about you? What's your ideal breakfast situation?
Something easy, quick, you know, yogurt, something like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I never was much of a cereal person.
Is it like the sweet cereal or just cereal?
Just cereal in general. I mean, every so often I would have something like Kix, which is not all that sweet.
Yeah.
You know. But other than that, I'm just not a breakfast person.
That's okay. It's not for everybody. I mean, you can make anything into a breakfast food. I know somebody that, like, 2 weeks ago was like, I'm having pasta tomorrow.
Omelets are good.
Okay, yes, I like omelets. That's not pasta.
No, I thought we were talking about that breakfast food.
No, we were. But they woke up at 9 o'clock in the morning and made a big pot of pasta, and that was breakfast. This person that I know, one of my friends.
Oh, my Lord.
So what kind of pasta was it?
That seems a little heavy for breakfast.
Just, like, penne with marinara sauce. Like, they make pasta. I was like, okay, good morning.
I don't know. They had dinner for breakfast.
Yeah.
That's too much.
I don't know. I was like, oh, wow. And they went to bed that night with the plan of waking up the next morning and making this pasta for breakfast. So, like, it was a whole thing.
It was for breakfast.
It was for breakfast.
Pasta breakfast.
They were like, I want pasta. That's what I'm having for breakfast. And I was like, huh, okay.
All right.
To each their own. I mean, if that's what you want, I'm just curious. Like, what if you wake up in the morning and you don't want the pasta? And they're like, I'm going to want the pasta. And I was like, okay, whatever you say. And they did. They woke up and made it, and I think that was also lunch and dinner, so.
So it really wasn't just for breakfast.
I mean, it was for breakfast because they ate it, but, like, I think they made, like, a whole box just for themselves, so it was, like,
crazy.
Is it
just because you eat it during that time it's breakfast?
I think so, in my mind.
Really?
Oh, yeah, so. I mean, like, a lot of the times,
like, if you eat leftover pizza from the night before, I don't think that's breakfast.
That's your breakfast for the day, though.
Yeah,
that's your breakfast meal.
I mean, you could say you ate pizza before breakfast, but I mean, I don't think that pizza becomes breakfast because you ate it then.
No, it's not a breakfast food, they woke up with the intention of eating pasta in the morning, so the pasta was their breakfast.
Well, like, I mean, sometimes when, not anymore, but when I used to live with my mom, she used to make, sausage muffins with cheese for dinner sometimes, and she'd always just call it, like, she'd always say we're having breakfast for dinner. Because, I mean, that's, you know, breakfast food.
Well, no, I've seen that a lot. I mean, I've had omelets for dinner and things like that.
Yeah, but usually it doesn't go the other way around.
No, I've never, no.
Well, no, but, I mean, it can. I've seen people eat pizza for breakfast in the morning.
But I don't think that's
pizza.
Breakfast. I mean, that's just, I need something to eat.
Well, I mean, I think when you eat breakfast, like, breakfast is supposed to have some, like, kind of something in it for, like, to you know, get you going. I don't think that eating pizza in the morning, I think you might wake up and feel a little like a lethargic or something.
Yeah, a lot of messy stuff there. Leftover pizza, cold pizza.
I don't know. I don't think there's a big issue with it. Like, if you eat the pancakes with the chocolate sauce and chocolate chips, like, I feel like that can't make you feel any better than waking up and eating pizza would make you feel.
Well, I don't know about how you feel. I mean, it could mess you up in that particular way, but I think it is a breakfast food.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there obviously are breakfast foods versus, like, foods that you'd have for, like, lunch and dinner, but if you eat that thing in the morning, I don't think there's an issue with it. Like, everyone eat what you want for breakfast, and nobody has room to judge you.
Well, no, I'm not judging these people who ate pasta for breakfast. I just think that's a little different.
Yeah, it is a little different. And
that they ate it all day long also is kind of fascinating.
They grazed. Who are you to go against grazing?
No,
you
grazing
read that.
Fine. I just thought they would have some other meals there available.
Nope, one and done. It's like, nope, we're back again. We're
eating
thing.
All day. Big pot of pasta on the stove.
Yeah.
Anytime you walk by, just dip in there.
Yeah, carry a fork around all day and just, yeah, take a bite whenever you walk
Did
by.
Did you enjoy that?
I wasn't there for it. I just heard about it.
Oh, and you heard about it.
They told me that's what they were doing, and I was a little judgmental, I think, and I was trying to expand my mind. I was like, you know, that's okay, to each their own. If you want to eat your pasta for breakfast, you do that. And it is what it is.
Well, I'm glad that it worked out okay for you.
Yeah. No, I'm fine. It wasn't my pasta for breakfast, but...
Because it seems like there could be a problem.
What?
Well, yeah, it seems like there could be an issue.
What's the issue?
Well, like, if I was there, I would probably have to say something to those people.
Oh, no, no. I'm going to go with the flow in those situations. I think that's one thing about me. Like, I could think anything could be normalized if enough people in the room were like, no, this is okay, which is terrible. But, like, I think that that's just true. I was like, they were like, I'm going to eat the pasta. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, you do your thing.
No, isn't that semi-cultish, though?
Yeah, I was thinking that as I was explaining it. I was like, yeah, I think I'm the ideal victim for a cult, so...
Oh, that's good to know.
I know, that's scary, but...
Everybody in the room is doing it.
Yeah,
so I'm
going to
do it too.
This is normal.
So I'm going to do it too.
No, I was just a little fight in the beginning, and hopefully I'm just not putting myself in positions and situations where that is something that could happen, but, you know, I mean, the pasta for breakfast thing, I was like, well, that is what it is. I didn't put up a fight about it, so.
Pastor Craig said breakfast. You are breaking your fast. The first thing you eat breaks your fast. Anything can be breakfast.
Oh, okay.
I'm with Pastor Craig.
Isn't there a breakfast aisle in the store?
There's a cereal aisle. I don't know if it's breakfast, though.
No, I think there is, because they have, like, the pancake, omega, oatmeal, granola bars.
Cream of wheat.
Those things kind of go together.
There it is, right there.
I mean, I guess granola bars can be considered breakfast, but you have fruit snacks in that aisle.
Are
fruit snacks considered breakfast?
There you go, yeah.
Maybe for some people.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm okay with fruit snacks for breakfast if that's what you want. But I mean, as I said, anything for breakfast is okay with me. I eat a large variety of foods throughout the day. I mean, you've seen me eat lunch at work before. I'm eating, like, my salad and my ice cream.
You're eating several foods.
Yes, I love options.
A lot of food.
I like options, yes. I'm a big options girl.
You buy the big quantity. Like, if there are, if you wanted a cookie, you would buy 8 cookies.
It's a 12-pack.
You got a 12-pack. There you go.
They don't sell singular cookies.
Oh, yeah, you get a singular cookie.
Where?
Just bust that open, and then take one out, and then say, oops, somebody broke the clasp on this thing.
Yeah, but, you know, I would rather just spend the $4 on the 12-pack of cookies.
You
could
totally go to the deli and ask them for a free cookie. They got samples back there.
There you go.
Yeah, but I'll go raise
them. Giving you one every day is debatable, but, I mean, you know, they got them, so.
How many cookies are you grazing a day?
Maybe 4.
That's a lot of cookies.
4?
I really like cookies. As you guys know, I have...
Per day?
Not every day, but, like, if I buy the 12-pack and they're there... And I now work for an 8-hour shift. I've only eaten one time in the 8-hour shift. So, I mean, you know, towards the end of the night, I'm starting to get a little hungry. And, yeah, I'll munch on some more cookies. Then maybe I go home and have dinner and have another cookie for dessert. So, yeah, throughout the course of the day, I think 4 cookies is reasonable for me.
Well, that's nice. What kind of cookies do you have?
Chocolate chip.
Always chocolate chip.
I love chocolate chip cookies.
No oatmeal?
No.
No, it's too much breakfast in there, right?
No, I mean, typically it's just oatmeal raisin. Like, if it was an oatmeal chocolate chip, I would eat that. But if it's oatmeal raisin, I don't want that. No.
Iced oatmeal cookies.
I don't want an iced oatmeal cookie.
What about a sugar cookie?
No, I'm not a huge fan of those, especially with the icing. I don't like that. I'm not an icing person.
But you just took down this strawberry shortcake in a mason jar.
That's not icing.
I feel like the majority of that cream stuff was basically icing.
Yeah.
I stuck my fork in there, and it was...
Instead of whipped cream.
I could...
Yeah. Whipped cream icing is better, in my opinion.
Whipped icing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
People like that whipped icing.
Yeah, absolutely. Whenever the deli messes up a cake or something, I'm like, yeah, let's go. Like.
Then do you just peel the icing off, or do you eat the whole cake?
It depends on the icing. I'll try it, and then I'll see how I'm feeling. It's situational.
You know, people have gotten away from cake recently. A lot of people don't have birthday cake anymore.
Yes, I've seen that before.
I like my birthday pie. As for, we had pumpkin pie with my birthday last year.
When we had pumpkin pie at the studio when you were there.
Yeah.
Emily brought a pumpkin pie.
I like ice cream cake. That's my ideal cake. From Dairy Queen.
Yeah.
I love Dairy Queen ice cream cakes.
You know, I had a Blizzard cake one year.
Oh.
I did not know they did those.
I didn't either.
Yeah, they do.
That's just like Blizzard, but like
cake? Like in a cake form.
Okay.
Yeah, it's very good.
But those are soft, though. I'm just so confused.
Yeah, you can't. It's a little thick.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, Matt, you had never met Thunderbolt until last night. What's your impression of him?
You know, Thunderbolt, he's pretty energetic. He's got a lot of energy in him being, you said 82?
82.
He's got loads of energy. He was sitting down, but, he's talking up a storm, He talks fast.
He talks up a storm.
He talks fast, too. Like, there's no gas there.
No. He's all there.
I like it.
Yeah, he's good. And he's an interesting talker. When you see him perform, it's a performance.
I've never seen him perform, but, you know, I'm excited. I'm excited.
It's pure entertainment.
I'm excited to be in a more intimate setting to hear him speak, because last night in the lobby it was really loud and he talked rather softly for me, and I was like, I couldn't hear him very well, so I'm ready to get him in front of a mic and see what he has to say whenever he's got all of the attention and the room is quiet and it's on him.
Well, I mean, the other day I didn't have a headset on, so I couldn't tell you exactly what he was saying, but Scott had asked Thunderbolt to give him some, like, old-school Thunderbolt Patterson, and he's like, I don't know what he said, but he, you know, got all the energy in his voice. He just started, you know,
He can still turn it on.
He's got that hype.
And hopefully tonight, that's what will happen. He'll be able to turn that on, turn back the clock 31 years, and turn it on in front of a huge audience tonight.
Well, I think he can. I mean, he did it for you. He should be able to do it for them.
I hope so.
He's dressing the part, that's for sure.
Well, hopefully he'll change his clothes between now and...
I know, but he set the tone last night. Whenever you walk in with the blinged out cowboy hat and the belt and the
he was looking good.
It looked like he had a custom shirt on, too. I was like, oh, this is his look. Like, I felt like I was seeing a character, not just a man. Like, that was a whole character.
That is his persona right there.
Yeah, but see, now that's from a different era of wrestling where people weren't playing a part. You know, that was who he was. And also, he lived by the rule of don't dress like the people in the seats, or you will be sitting in the seats.
Well, he is from Texas, is he not?
Iowa, I think.
He's from Iowa?
Yeah.
I thought he was in Texas.
His daughter lives
there. No, he lives in Georgia.
Oh, okay.
Man.
So there you go. I feel that I'll be treated well at this rehearsal today, because Thunderbolt, clearly at his age, is not walking long distances. So I assume being with him, I will also not have to walk long distances.
That's safe bet, I would say.
A lot of the times I always choose to walk over not walk. Like, if I have the option to get a ride somewhere, but like it's like a 2-minute walk, I'd just rather take the walk at that
point. 2 minutes is fine.
I like to use my legs. They're pretty good, you know.
Well, I walked around that terminal last night for about half an hour.
You've had your fill of walking.
That was not fun.
Philadelphia has seen enough of Scott Spears walking around, and you're ready for a little card action.
Well, just that terminal, my God. I mean, I cannot believe they shut down the escalators at 8 o'clock.
Oh, they just turned them off?
Yeah, how are you supposed to get downstairs?
There's stairs. You walk.
No, they haven't belted off, gated off.
Oh, so like they just can't use the...
there are only certain ones they leave open, and in a terminal that size, you have to walk a long way to find that one that they've left open.
Especially with the magnitude of people that are coming in for the big event this weekend, you'd think they would have planned ahead. I mean, they obviously knew it was happening. You said your pilot made an announcement when you landed that, you know, WrestleMania is this weekend, so it's a little crazy out there. Yet they still chose to block off the stairs.
They did. Blocked off all... You could not get down to the first floor.
Well, I mean, that's airlines for you. They do what they want.
Maybe blocking off the escalators and things were just a way of, like, better organizing everything. They could better keep track of who like went in and out of there, like a safety thing.
Was anybody counting you? Did you see anybody?
No, nobody counted me.
Okay.
No.
I mean, maybe though they were. I mean, like, were they directing you?
Oh no, God no! Every time I ask somebody a question, no, down there.
It's like you're at Walmart. And you're did they hear me? Like,
down there. Where down there?
You're going to jump over the balcony?
Yeah, I'll just... I would have jumped over the balcony had I seen a balcony.
Oh, wow.
That airport is something else.
I'm glad that that's your thing to deal with. I mean, I know Matt and I have the nice 8-hour car ride, but, you know, each mode of transportation has its own issues, so...
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't bad. I mean, that's only like a half hour out of your day that happened, but just weird.
Yeah, I mean, still, after the mechanical issues, though, and the flight crew delays that happened, you know, they each have their own problems. Yours ended up taking about as long as ours, probably, with your drive to the airport, drive away from the airport, waiting at the airport. We spent a lot of the same amount of time in travel yesterday.
With that whole Boeing thing going on, I don't like flying. I mean, to be fair, I've never flown. I mean, I'm not scared of it. I'd probably do it still. I won't lie to you, but, I mean, I'd probably just avoid it if I could.
I enjoyed it, yesterday. But it was just the delays and the turbulence and the weirdos on the plane and, you know, that... It was only an hour on the plane.
Yeah, I mean, you got your characters. You met some interesting people on the plane.
Well, like I said, the flight attendants were very cranky.
I mean, if it was a Boeing, there's a 25% chance that your oxygen mask didn't work.
Well, we didn't get that far.
Good. I mean,
listen, I don't really think the oxygen mask is going to save me if we're going down.
No, probably not. But, you know,
I'm like that floater.
You do what you
well,
do.
Well, when we're about to hit the water here, I'm going to have this floaty.
Yeah.
Around. I'll find the body.
Yeah.
The body will be floating there.
Yeah. Thank God.
I mean, what? I didn't understand that.
Gotta do something.
Yeah, I don't understand why they do that.
Like what? The lifeboats on cruises, it's like,
life.
If we get to that point, you know, you're in a lot of trouble anyway, so...
Well, I mean, I think it's... I think they just... I mean, they figure they try to, to protect the people who are on the plane. I mean, that's arguable. I mean, because the whole thing that's going on with Boeing is that they supposedly one of the quote like senior quality maintenance people reported that like one of every four oxygen masks they had didn't work, and that they were in Boeing was making planes out of like actual scrap metal.
What's the issue with that? I guess I don't understand what the issue. If they melt down the scrap metal, can you use it? Like, what's the problem?
It weakens it.
Because it's scrap metal, like what's the difference between scrap metal and other metal?
I think scrap metal just, like, comes from, like, this or that, and then, like, it's just sort of like a scrap metal. Well, it's different. It usually will come from different things. Like, it's just, like, miscellaneous metals.
Yeah, but I mean, if I'm smelted down, I guess I don't see a huge issue with that in my mind. I'm also not making planes, so I don't know for sure, but I guess that's not, like, raising any red flags for me whenever you say it's made of scrap metal.
I mean, Boeing is a defense contractor, so if a defense contractor decided they can make, you know, all the, you know, I don't know, the defense contractor definitely has the money to make better jets than using scrap metal, and they definitely have the money to make sure that more than three out of every four of their oxygen masks work, even though, like Scott said, I don't know if the oxygen mask is going to save you if you're going down, but at the same time, like, I think I'd rather have the working oxygen mask, so...
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you on the oxygen mask. That's definitely something that you should have access to because they tell you that you'll have access to it if the plane's going down, although, like we said, I don't know what it's going to do for you. But at least the scrap metal, I'm like, oh, good, they're eco-friendly. They're reduce, reuse, and recycle. Like, that's good. I'm like, yay.
Using scrap metal reduces the integrity of the actual, like, chassis, though. So, like, there's more of a chance that, like, they'll be, like, I don't know things that could go wrong on planes. Like, I assume, like, it's pressurized. So there could be, like, a leak or something in the scrap metal, because the scrap metal just, like, crack.
I mean, I guess, maybe, I don't know. I'd assume they had to pass some regulations.
Oh, but also, I mean, there was a Boeing plane that crashed, I think it was over, I don't know, Alaska or something. There were multiples, like, two. But, yeah. And,
crashing's bad.
Yeah, but, the dude who whistle blew that all this was happening was like, see, I told you something bad was going to happen. He was trying to fix the company, but he's dead now.
You know, but people always do that. They say something bad is going to happen, and inevitably something bad will happen.
You see, but it was, because Boeing was using, like, they're called like 737 Dreamliners or something. Like, their newest plane. They were, like, those are the ones, like, two of those were the ones that crashed, and those two things were the ones that he was in, like, that he was in charge of, I guess, maintaining, keeping up the quality checks. And then when the quality checks would come back and not do so well, Boeing would be like, eh, and then fly it anyway.
Speaking of things in the air, talk about the eclipse event on Monday.
So, man. The eclipse event on Monday is going to be something. So we're going to have Mary Ellen there. We're going to have Chad Clark. There's going to be myself, Scott Carrington, Pastor Craig, Linda Sims. I'm probably forgetting somebody.
John.
Yeah, basically the whole gang is going to be there. We're going to have a Mary Ellen with $1 that she's going to sign, and we're going to send it up with 30 balloons representing her 30th anniversary. And if you find those balloons when they come down with the dollar bill, you can keep the dollar bill, and you get dinner at Steak and Shake with both Scott and Mary Ellen.
Now, you do have to call. There'll be a phone number.
You do have to call.
Yeah, you can't just show up.
So with the dollar bill, there's going to be, like, an index card or something of the sort with, like, a, you know, phone number and name of the radio station, I'd assume.
Oh. Now, how long do you think 30 balloons will stay up?
There it goes.
It depends on the weather. I mean, if it's...
Looks pretty good Monday.
Pretty good. Is it hot or...
Like 60, 65 is what I saw.
Oh, well, I mean, it sounds like they might stay up for a while, because, I mean, that's not bad. But, I mean, like, if it was super hot or super cold, I mean, the balloon, like, super cold, the air's gonna... And the helium's gonna, like...
Right, so overnight, I think, is when the top balloon will come down.
Right, so...
I think it won't be either way, but I think overnight, when the temperature drops, is probably when it'll come down.
Probably.
So...
I would say so.
But people have said, what if it's in an area where nobody's gonna find it? Listen, when you go out to mow your lawn, you're going to see 30 balloons.
I mean, maybe. What if it lands in, like, a body of water? Then ain't nobody going to find it.
Now, you are just a born pessimist, I think.
I mean, he is. You got negative things no matter what.
Personally, I'm just not a fan of releasing balloons.
Do you have qualms with this?
I do, yes.
Well, I mean,
the qualm. Releasing balloons is not good. It's like a... It's not technically littering because you didn't throw it on the ground, but, like, at the same time, you're definitely not going to pick it up. It's not like you're going to follow that balloon.
Well, I think they are going to pick it up.
Well, maybe, if you find it.
Well, so you think it'll just be off in the woods forever?
Well, there's a possibility. I mean, there's a possibility, depending on, like, how bad the wind and everything is, that it could just end up in, like, Lake Erie. In which case, nobody's finding it.
Well, there's a lot of dead bodies in Lake Erie, so what difference does it make? I think the balloons at least do trouble in Lake Erie.
Murdering people is illegal, and so is polluting the waterways with balloons.
Well, we're not putting the balloons in the waterways. We're not releasing them into the air.
Yeah.
But if they end up in the waterways, what are we going to do about
it? Was like, yeah.
I don't think you can predict things
starts,
like that.
You see, that's why you don't release them.
Explain that to Mary Ellen Monday, and see how that goes.
Yeah, you shut down the event and come up with a plan B.
Yeah.
There's a delay now.
I mean,
okay.
I just, you know.
Okay.
We sat around for hours trying to come up with a plan A. I didn't hear any plan A's.
They don't tell you.
There were some plan A's. You just didn't like them.
The people had heard those plan A's.
The event would not be happening if they heard
those
plan A's.
No, those plan A's were a little weak. But this will work fine. People do this all the time. People do it at funerals. People do it on the anniversaries of people dying in cemeteries. People do it at weddings now instead of throwing rice because we've learned what that does to birds. They do balloons all the time.
So, you know, we just release balloons now and let them end up in the waterways.
Well, you know what? We can try to shut down all balloons. Because what if a kid walks out of the grocery store? Whoop, there went a balloon. That could end up in the waterway. Let the rest of that store shut them down.
You see, but, like, the issue is, like, I think you got to give some slack to, first off, a child letting go of a balloon.
No! That balloon could go up. That balloon's got helium.
He knew about the pollution of the waterway.
Certainly did, and if he did, his parents did. He's not in the store alone.
Look.
And the store knew that could happen.
And
they did all the time.
No excuse.
Nope.
There's a big difference between a child letting go of a balloon, or, like, accidentally letting go of a balloon, versus, like, all right, guys. I don't know when it was, but there was a city that wanted to break the record for most balloons released at once, and they straight up released, like, 10,000 balloons all at once, just, like, across the city. So, like, it was like they were cleaning out waterways.
I don't understand how this pollutes the waterway.
What do you mean?
You think some latex balloons are going to
pollute? Yeah.
You know what people flush down their toilets? You ever been out in the country where people live? You ever been down in a cistern and see what people are clogging those things with, where the Roto-Rooter man's got to come out there and get all this stuff out of there?
Not your sister.
I think balloons are the least of your trouble.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No. I think that releasing balloons is bad.
I think you have not lived in an area where you had well water.
Bad for the environment.
Okay. I'll take you out on patent bike sometime, and we'll go out there and just lift one of those cisterns up, and you look and see what's down in there.
What is a cistern?
It's where the backup goes for your water, if you have a house that is not city water.
I'm gonna not go on this track. You guys have a good time, though. Good luck with your cistern.
We know there are dead bodies in there because a funeral home flooded, and the bodies came from another cemetery flooded, and the bodies came down and popping up in Lake Erie.
No.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Water. You never know what's gonna be in water. I agree. I'm the least of our worries.
No. Balloons, I mean, I don't think
you should put a balloon in your mouth as opposed to some other things, personal hygiene products that people are using.
I don't know that I would put personal hygiene products in. I mean, I guess toothpaste is considered a personal hygiene product.
No, not a used personal hygiene product.
Yeah,
on the 12th.
Yeah, nobody's dropping brand new personal hygiene products in these things.
Nobody, I don't think people should be dropping anything in the water.
They're sending them down the commode.
I think you should go fishing. If you go fishing and you accidentally lose your line, that's about as far as it goes.
Well, that could kill you too.
You shouldn't just go throwing things in the water, though. I mean, like, I'm fishing. I'm catching fish. I mean, I'm not intentionally losing.
One to five on Monday.
Monofilament.
One to five.
I did not know Matt was so passionate about pollution of the water.
You
learn something new every day.
You learn something new every day.
And as you said, one to five on Monday, you're not going to want to miss the eclipse event. So that will teach you something new there, I'm sure.
Yeah, and we're not trying to land these in the water.
It's not the goal here.
No, highly unlikely. The chances of that happening are rare.
I think that the chances of it landing somewhere where people...
I had no idea that you would disagree with this. Go ahead.
I think that the chances of it landing somewhere where people aren't going to find it is... I wouldn't say, like, extraordinarily high. I'd say it's pretty high.
Didn't know Matt was our resident environmentalist.
Solution.
Whatever.
What, we can come up with a punishment that's not high.
You should just stand over at McDonald's and watch people flip the stuff out their window as they drive by.
Like when I was walking across the street last night and there was just those 7-Eleven pizza things sticking out of the...
yes, the 7-Eleven pizza boxes were sticking out of the, I don't know if it was like a bus stop area or something. I was pointing that out when I was talking to Scott. I said, oh, it's like decor. They're trying to send some kind of message, and I don't know what the message is, but it's a message, I think.
That we get rid of our trash.
I think it's that you can get the pizza at the 7-Eleven that's across the street.
Do you think the 7-Eleven put that there, or that's trash?
It's probably trash, but, you know, I don't think the 7-Eleven cares. I think they're like, look, they're just, you know, advertising their pizza.
That's probably true. You see all kinds of stuff like that in big cities, though. You never know what kind of trash. I mean, you bought a lot of trash last night.
You picked up a lot of trash last night.
Matt did pick up a lot of trash yesterday.
You found the key. Why did you pick this up?
Because I thought it was funny that somebody lost their key, so I'm like, look, I just now have somebody's key. I mean, I don't know.
But what if somebody goes back to look in that spot and they say, oh, where was I? I had my key last. So it was probably there.
I guess that's rough. I don't know. I'll go put it back. I don't know what you want me to do. I don't even know where it is now.
That makes pollution look like a child's
play. You're right.
Yeah. Now you've ruined somebody's life. They can't start their car. They can't get in their house.
Oh, no. It might be a house key. It looks like it could be a house key, but it's definitely not a car key.
You never know.
That's right. I mean, Scott, I was in your car once, and I saw your car key, and I wouldn't guess that was a car key either, so.
No, that's a projection method.
Yes. You did share that. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, it is. Because the key broke off of the, Pop.
Yes.
And I repaired it once, and then it broke again. And I thought, this just isn't... They said they're notorious for breaking off like that. So I really don't need it on there to start the car, so what's the point?
Yeah, and now, like you said, there's a special trick to starting your car.
That's right. You have to have it just right to start the car. Nobody could start... No, not just anybody could start the car.
Yeah, so it is an extra protection method. It looks a little bit. It looks a little similar to Scott's key. If you've ever seen it, so it could be.
No.
It could be a car key.
I don't know. I don't think it's a car key. It could definitely be a house key, though. I will not argue that one. It looks like it could be a house key.
Matt, what are you most excited for this weekend?
Probably being backstage at the Hall of Fame. I don't know. I do like history, so going to the Independence Hall and all that. I mean, I think that's going to be neat because I like the history, but I mean, as far as the Hall of Fame thing goes, I think being backstage is going to be pretty neat. That's something that most people don't get to experience.
Well, I don't think most people get to experience the Hall of Fame in general.
But you can always, like, watch the Hall of Fame on TV or something.
I think that's a little different.
There's no, like, footage of backstage or anything, so, like, if you were there, you'd know. If you weren't, there's no way to know.
Well, I think being a part of the media section also is very interesting, because certainly most people don't experience that. And I would guess there's probably not a lot of media there.
Yeah, I mean, the WWE, as you said, kind of protects their footage and their rights to their footage. So I would assume it's a lot of just their people there. And, I mean, how many media people do you need for one organization?
All right, because they send it out there.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw a videographer last night in the lobby of the hotel.
Oh, and he was decked out. He had, a giant camera along with, like, a whole, like, front and back, like, back brace-looking thing with equipment on it. Like, okay. So he just had a lot of stuff on. Yeah, you could tell that... He was definitely a professional, quote-unquote, media guy.
WWE does a first-rate production.
Yeah. There's no jokes about it, that's for sure.
And I think you'll see that tonight in the production that they put on when they go to these places. I mean, they make these arenas look, they transform them into something great.
That's why I'm so excited to see the backstage and be there in person, because I know it's going to be different than what you're going to see on TV. So getting the experience in person versus watching it later, because I'm hoping to go home and get to watch all of it again. It's going to be a lot different, I think. So just getting to compare and contrast what it's like in both situations is going to be fun.
And rehearsal starts in just about 20 minutes. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, I hope we get to go. I mean, we still don't know if we're going to get to go to rehearsal, so...
You know, I can't even check email at this particular
point. No, you can't. So we have no idea what's going to happen.
No idea.
This is a great example of the whole see what happens.
It's just flying by the seat of your pants. But so, now what is plan B if you don't get to go? What are you going to do around here?
I'm going to lay back down, probably.
See, I knew you were tired.
It's not about being tired. I mean, maybe Matt and I will go walk around. There was some cool waiting for him over there. So depending on how it all shakes out and what he wants to do, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I mean, we did get up early, like we said, and we are going to be up past midnight, so I don't think there's anything wrong with relaxing.
No, and I don't think rehearsal's going to run the full... My impression was not the full two-hour period.
I mean, yeah, there's only, what, like 10 people probably with the whole...
10 people, I think, involved on the whole, and I don't think we're getting up reading anything today. I think today's just camera angles and things like that.
Set up?
Yeah.
Yeah, just so you know where you're supposed to go so that there's not any pitches whenever it all happens tonight.
And I think you meet the producer, you get that down.
Yeah. So, I mean, hopefully it's not even the full 2 hours. So, if me and Matt leave the hotel room, maybe you'll get back early and then we'll be off of our timing, and then you all just have to sit here. So maybe it is best that we just sit here, lay back down, and take a little nap this morning.
Take a little nap. You're looking for that nap. I can feel it in your bones. You're looking for that nap.
Yeah. I mean, I like to lay. I'm a huge...
Okay, well, I suggest that you're like, I want to go out on the town.
Jesus.
Now you're back down the lay.
Well, I mean, I'm ready to go out on the town, but, you know, with a little more sleep in me.
Well, I'm just sure rehearsal is over regardless, I believe, at 1 at the latest. So I'm not sure what time we have to be back to the building, but I'm guessing it's not right away.
No, I mean, that would be a lot of time there if that's the case.
Yeah, I can't imagine that's what would happen.
No, especially because it doesn't start until 10 p.m.
Right, and I think we are shuttled over there, so
yeah.
There you go.
Are we shuttled over there? I hope we're shuttled over there, too.
For the shipping tonight?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
So many questions.
If you talk to these people, you'd be interested. You'd get about the same responses that I'm getting.
Yeah.
They've changed all the time.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're just going to have to see what happens, because the moral of the story here.
Well, seeing them face-to-face, I think, is what's going to be interesting here in just a few minutes, because then I'll get a real perspective on what's going on.
For sure. They can't, you know, ignore your email face-to-face. Like, hey, here's the question. Go ahead and answer it right now.
Well, not that they've ignored the emails. It's just more of, we'll see when we get there, we'll see when we get there,
right.
That sort of thing.
Well, now we're here, so
we'll
it's time to get those answers.
Yeah. Now, we are going to turn this back over to the studio here, Pastor Craig and Sean at 10:15, and then also together at 11 and 12, and then Pastor Craig at 1 today. There'll be no Friday night show tonight because we'll be at the Hall of Fame. Check that out on Peacock tonight at 10:15. Get the Peacock app. It's only $5.99 for the entire month, and you can watch the Hall of Fame tonight. It's going to be something. I'll be one of the presenters along with Thunderbolt Patterson. Matt and Carrington will be there. WrestleMania on Sunday. I believe you also get that free with your subscription to the Peacock, all for $5.99. It doesn't get any better than that.
No, and I think people are excited back in Marion. I know you've got a lot of comments this week while working. Yeah, a lot of positive comments, a lot of people who are really excited to see this happen. So we're excited to witness it here in person, and I think it'll be great at home as well. So you're not going to want to miss it.
So we're going to turn it back over to the studio from, and by the way, there won't be any live show on Monday because the Eclipse will be flying back, or coming back. Some people will be driving, some people will be flying back from the event here, the festivities. So the Eclipse will be going on, and we'll be at Steak and Shake 1 to 5 p.m., but I'll be back live Tuesday morning, and I believe Thunderbolt Patterson will be the guest live in studio on Tuesday morning.
That's right, Eclipse Mania. You can't miss it. There's going to be Mary Ellen Withrow, Thunderbolt Patterson, Chad Clark is performing Eclipse event, and we're just going to get to watch it all together, so you better be there.
It's going to be fun. So from all of us in Philadelphia, for Carrington and Matt and myself, thanks to Sean and Pastor Craig for being back in the studio.
It's doing good.
We're heading for the dugout.
All right. Not too bad.